don't want to end up where I ended up before. You know, I did have a good business. I did love my clients too. I did love the people I worked with, and to feel like I didn't even want to get up for them anymore was something really hard on me. Like it hit my soul. Like it really did feel like, wow, like I love this industry. I love what I'm doing and I'm very good at it, but I'm doing something wrong that I don't want to be here anymore. And to figure that out and getting help now is it's so much easier for me to be like, yes, please. Like, if you can assist me with this, let's go. Let's do this. I kinda like
Welcome to the Women Action Takers podcast, where we bring you uplifting, inspirational, and motivational action takers who are making a positive impact on the planet. I'm your hostess, Linda Sunshine West of Living Live. My passion is to help driven women entrepreneurs gain confidence to ask for their worth, clarity to attract clients to them, and focus to get faster results. My motto is be seen, be known. This podcast, as well as everything I do, is born out of that motto. Hey, let's take action now and get on with the show.
If you've heard any of the episodes leading up to today's, you know that I mentioned Clubhouse from here and there. You know, I love Clubhouse. It's so amazing. Well, my next guest, I met her on Clubhouse. And one thing I really loved about her, it's kind of a silly thing, I guess, but is that when she introduced herself, it was Camille in the Teal. And why did that really get me? Because, well, first of all, she has a teal background on her Clubhouse. She changes it up every once in a while. But every time I would see her, she had that teal background and it really stood out. And this just goes to show about, you know, when we brand ourselves as something. So hers was, you know, Camille in the Teal on Clubhouse, but not Camille in the Teal everywhere else, but on Clubhouse. And so by doing that, she has a brand that she was creating on Clubhouse. But we're here today to talk to Camille Colley, and she is the founder of The Abundant Entrepreneur. I love abundance. I believe in abundance and I live abundance. And I think this is really, really important piece here. So Camille, welcome to the Women Action Takers. I'm super excited to talk to you. Like I can actually see your face and see your lips move today. So that's kind of cool.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here, Linda. I know it's kind of crazy. You know, Clubhouse, we hear all of these amazing women, but to actually meet them and see their faces and get to know them face to face is super awesome. So I'm so glad that we're getting this opportunity to do that today.
It's so great, right? Because one of the things you really hone in on is like connections, you're making connections with people, networking and stuff like that. So I want to know, like, how did you get into that? Were you always that kind of person, or is this something that's kind of morphed more recently? How did you get into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would actually say it is a little bit more recent for me, and maybe in the last 2 to 3 years. So my first business was in the fitness industry. I started that business right out of college. And, you know, in that industry, it's a kind of do it yourself, show yourself off, very masculine energy kind of business. You know, I worked with and alongside a lot of men, and not that that's a bad thing. You know, I do love that masculine side, but at the same time, it's about that hustle. It's about looking a certain way. It's about having that money and success rather than actually building real connections with people and getting to know them and all the good stuff that we do now. So going into my second business, when I decided to kind of pivot into coaching other health and wellness professionals to build their businesses, I knew that there needed to be a change, not just for the people that I was helping, but for myself, because I felt like I left that industry with like no business friends, no one to really lean on, any support. And so the first thing I did, I actually tell this all the time, people think I'm crazy. In 1 month, I sold my business, got married, and went to a women's conference. All in 1 month, in week back to back weeks, it was the craziest month ever. But totally worth it because I really wanted to go to this conference in San Diego, actually, and a couple of years ago, and I didn't want to miss it. So we pushed my honeymoon to a month later so that I could go to this conference. And the support and what I saw there was just the networking and the people just helping each other that didn't even know each other, and just the different women that were doing these things for each other and leaning on each other was just such a, I sometimes don't even have words for it. I can't explain how I saw it. It was a priceless moment. It was just this epiphany for me too, that I didn't really know how I was going to scale in this industry or what I was going to do next. But all I knew is that I wanted those types of connections. I wanted to walk away from this conference and start my next business by having a network around me that was just this amazing community that I could lean on, that I could use, that I could help, all of those amazing things. So yeah, it's a newer concept to me, but I think it was always there. I'm come from a long line of playing soccer and being a part of a team. I played college soccer, you know, an athlete. And so I always liked having that around me, but I kind of lost that in the fitness industry. And so I'm really glad to have brought that team atmosphere back into my life.
I love that. I got to know though, like, what did your husband think when you said, well, we got to postpone that?
You know, I mean, we were kind of still deciding it. And I, you know, again, I, during the time that I was still in my other business, like I said, I sold my business that month as well. I was sitting there and he knew I was going through this moment of just, there's something missing. There's something that I need in my business. And I feel like this women's conference is going to do that. Like, it's going to show me what's missing in my business, what's missing in the way that I'm running my business. It's missing in the community that I have. And so he understood. He's always been very supportive. But yes, we did push it off for just a month. It was just a month. And then we went. So we still got to enjoy it a month later. But I was just like, it's the weekend after we get married. I have to go. And he totally, he went there. He stayed in the hotel room all day and just supported me through the whole thing.
Wow, what a great guy. He's a keeper. Sounds like a keeper. That's good. So where did you guys go on your honeymoon?
Belize. I'm actually half Belizean. My mom is from Belize, born. She was born and raised there. I'm a dual citizen and so most people wouldn't know that. But yeah, so we went to Belize because my husband has never been there. I've been there like 10, 15 times, but he had never been there. So I wanted him to experience that. So we actually went to Cabo for a friend's wedding, and then we went to Belize after that.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. But I think it's awesome because the show, you know, that support that he has of you, you know, to say, okay, you want to do that, then go ahead and do that. And we'll just postpone. And then he came with you and stayed in the room. That's something my husband would do. Like, if he came with me, he would just stay in the room because he's not interested in those kinds of things. He doesn't really understand the entrepreneurial crazy mindset that we have, you know?
It's so hard. I mean, they support you, they love you, and I always thank him for that, but he'll never understand some of it. Like when I've had like a launch that doesn't go the way that I want, he'll be like, it's okay, babe, just get up and do it again tomorrow. And it's like, that's not how this works. Like, I just spent the last 6 months creating everything for this launch. So if it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go the way, or I didn't get the amount of enrollees I want, he thinks I could just get up and jump and do it again. And it's, I love the support. I'm so grateful for it, but he definitely doesn't understand the mindset behind it and what goes into all of this entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There definitely does take a different type of mindset to do that. And so let's talk about that, you know, the successes that you've had, you know, in your entrepreneurship journey. And first I want to touch on any failures that you've had. Like, is there, because we all fail, right? If we don't try something, we're not going to fail. So I know you've tried many different things. So I want to hear, like, what was your greatest failure that you got the greatest lesson from?
My first business. So my first business was a six-figure business. And so that's why people think it's crazy that I say it was my biggest failure. But like I just spoke about the community aspects, there were so many things, you know, it was my first business. I had no idea what I was doing. It was, you know, within the first 6 months, I was booked out. I was hiring under other trainers. It was a fitness business. Like I said, I ran an in-person business. And it looked from the outside really good. Like I, you know, was making lots of money. I was bringing lots of people in. We were waitlisted for the amount of clients that were coming in. We were bringing in high ticket clients, people that, you know, were millionaires and more, multimillionaires coming in from the area. It looked good from the outside, but I just didn't know what I was doing. Like I really didn't. I thought I could just handle it. I could just go at it. You know, I was trying to learn along the way, but I didn't really have a strategy behind it. I didn't have a community, a support system. I had no other entrepreneurs I was talking to. I didn't even know that was a thing that you could actually ask another entrepreneur for advice or help or a coach. I had no idea that was a thing either. I just knew other people taught things, but I didn't know that there was people that could coach me or help me through this. So I really ran that business to the point that I burnt out. Like I just could not do it. There was days that I was waking up for that business and I didn't even want to go in anymore. And again, this was a six-figure fitness industry business, which is really hard to do in the first place. You know, I had supplement brands that were trying to be with me, everything you can think about. I talked at expos. I did all of the things that people would have from the outside said, this is amazing. Like, she is, you know, the fitness goddess, you know, but I just didn't run it the right way. And I let my business run me, you know, I let it run me right into the ground. And I learned a lot. It was 4.5 years. The last probably 2.5 were the hardest years I've ever had in business, but it taught me so many things, especially when it came to mindset, myself, you know, how to run my business, the strategies, the things that I needed, and the personal things that I needed, you know, the rest days and the really running my business, not letting it run me side of it, was all a lesson I learned from that first business. So I'm glad it happened. You know, it felt like sometimes people say I wasted 4.5 years, but I said I learned for 4.5 years how to run a business now that does the same, but I don't feel like I'm dying in it every day. I feel good. I love it. I'm happy. I want to wake up and do these interviews and meet, you know, new people and reach out to new people and get on Clubhouse and do these things because I love it. I love it. And it's changed the way that I see business and how it should be run. So yeah, that would definitely be my biggest failure, but my biggest lesson.
Yeah. And that's so good. Cause what we got there was that, you know, that you love what you're doing now. And so sometimes we do have to go through hardships of different things to learn what we should be doing differently, or, you know, what we can do differently next time or what have you. And your lesson happened to be 4.5 years. And especially that last 2.5 years were not as pleasant as maybe the first 2 years. Yeah. But another thing here too, is especially women, you know, men have this problem, but women especially have this problem of asking for help, right? Because a lot of times people see asking for help as a weakness. So as far as that goes now, you know, in your business and what you're doing now, you know, are you more likely to ask for help a lot faster nowadays because of the lessons you learned?
Oh, absolutely. And every aspect, you know, of course I'm still a business owner. I'm still, you know, I'm definitely independent and I do a lot of things on my own. But when I start to feel overwhelmed, or when I start to notice that something is taking away from the things that I'm actually good at, I know a lot of people call it the zone of genius or your superpower, whatever it is, when it starts to take away from that, immediately I'm hiring a VA, immediately I'm reaching out to someone, immediately I'm asking questions. It is something that has definitely changed for me, because I don't want to end up where I ended up before. You know, I did have a good business. I did love my clients too. I did love the people I worked with, and to feel like I didn't even want to get up for them anymore was something really hard on me. Like, it hit my soul. Like, it really did feel like, wow, like, I love this industry. I love what I'm doing and I'm very good at it, but I'm doing something wrong that I don't want to be here anymore. And to figure that out and getting help now is, it's so much easier for me to be like, yes, please. Like, if you can assist me with this, let's go, let's do this.
That's awesome. So what did you move into? Are you still in the fitness industry then, but in a different way, or what are you doing now?
No. So, I mean, I do sometimes help, you know, local health and wellness companies, whether they're yoga studios or, you know, vegan places. I still do help a lot of them, you know, on the side, because I've worked in my city for a long time. That's where I built my business as well. So a lot of people know who I am. But I'm actually doing mainly events now. So I do mainly helping curate and create events behind the scenes. I got really into speaking last year virtually. And so that was a big one for me. I was supposed to speak a lot in 2020. I had about 6 events lined up that were brand new, my first speaking year. And of course, we all know what happened in 2020. So yeah. I didn't go to any of those. But I did a lot of coaching at first. So I was helping a lot of health and wellness professionals. And like I said, a lot of in-person businesses, because that's where I came from. Then I went online, and then, you know, the speaking came about, and I love being a part of events. I love creating events. I actually have my own events, which is the Abundant Entrepreneur Summits. So that's definitely the area that I'm mainly in. And I do group coaching as well as membership programs for entrepreneurs in general now, mainly female entrepreneurs. So I do not work with men yet. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. It's the Women Action Takers podcast.
Sorry, anyone, but I mainly work with females, or and I help them build their businesses through a lot of social media events and that type of larger marketing that they can do.
Well, that's awesome. It's definitely a needed space, because, you know, a lot of people, they have these desires and dreams of what they want to do, and they see other people doing it, and they don't realize there's a freaking lot of work behind the scenes that goes on to make that stuff happen. Not everybody puts on an event and yells out and says, hey, I'm doing an event like Tony Robbins, and then gets, you know, 100,000, 200,000 signups. It doesn't happen that way for the majority of us, myself included. You know, so there's a lot that goes into that. So anybody listening to this that is thinking of putting on one of those events, actually, we do have a free gift today, and that's a 30-minute call with Camille. So we'll go ahead and post the link to that, you know, in the show notes and stuff. But hop on a 30-minute call with her, because you never know, she's going to do a 30-minute deep dive call to find out how she can help you. So make sure you hop on that call with her. So what do you see as, because I don't want to ask how old you are, but how old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay, so 32, you're in your second business. Do you see anything, like what do you see in the future by age 37? Let's say 5 years down the line, are you looking that far into the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always try to live day by day too. I try not to obsess with the future, but of course we all have future goals. And, you know, personally, we talked about it before we got on this call. I would definitely would like to move and be a little bit closer to an area that I want to be in. But in my business, yes, personally, I would love to actually host a large venue in-person event. I would love to do multiple throughout the year, maybe one or two big events. I'm talking huge venues, thousands of people, one of those things. That's definitely the big goal for me. I actually like being a host MC kind of situation, not just a speaker. So I really enjoy bringing other people on, helping other people learn from other people. It's really like just this, I just can't. That's something when I'm like in those rooms, I just feel so empowered by them, when I'm just seeing someone talking and everyone else's eyes just lighting up, or someone doing a breathwork session and everyone's crying and everyone's just got this emotion, like you're changing people's lives in the craziest ways. And so that is definitely the big picture, is having a large event, being maybe the MC, the host, and the founder of a large event, and then an in-person event, though. You guys, I'm talking in person. Right now, I mainly work with virtual events, but that in-person is definitely the big goal.
Yeah, it'll open back up. I know it will. I just know it will. As a matter of fact, I just attended an event about a week and a half ago, and there were about 400 people in attendance, wow, which was awesome, because oh my gosh, you know, being locked up for so long and not doing anything. Like, I got to know the people at the grocery store and at the 7-Eleven for gas. Like, that's the only people I got to know this last, you know, little bit of time, but they will definitely open up again. So I'm going to share with you a story of an event that I hosted, and it was it was 2016. And I'll share my 2015 story first. In 2015, I decided I was going to host a food festival. I'm in San Diego, and you mentioned San Diego earlier. I was going to host a food festival called Lemon Zest and Garlic Fest. Really cool name and everything. Oh, yeah. And I had this vision that we would have 1,500 people in attendance. It was my first ever food festival. And I had this vision. Well, on that day, San Diego happened. It was in July, by the way, the hottest month of the year. We never get rain. We don't even get sprinkles in July. But that day, the heavens decided to open up and shower us with over 3 inches of rain in less than 2.5 hours. So we basically flooded. The event was flooded, but people still kept going, and I couldn't afford to shut it down. I couldn't afford it. So I had to keep it going. And at the end of the day, I ended up losing $70,000. It was a very costly event. So I said at the end of the day, I said, okay, my next event, I will do this and I won't do that. The lessons I learned, right? And I look at it as a flash course in events. So my next event that I hosted was called Berry Best Chocolate Fest. I have really cool names. I love my names. As a Berry Best Chocolate Fest. Well, that event, about a month before the event, we had only sold maybe 200 tickets. And my goal for that one was, I think I had 1,500 as my goal again. So we only sold about 200 tickets. I was sweating bullets. I was really scared that we weren't going to sell the tickets. Well, when it got to the day of the event, about a week before, we sold about 1,000 tickets. And then we started selling more. At the end of the day, 3,500 people in attendance at that event. It was so amazing. So amazing. I still lost money, but I only lost 10,000. So it was an increase of 700% is like how I like to look at it.
I consider it a win. I mean, even with my virtual events, you know, it's the first one was a hit and I lost money. The second one, we broke even. The third one, I made some money, not a lot, but for me, that means it's getting better every time. And it means what I'm putting out there, people really want. They want to come. They want to be there. So, I mean, I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing.
And I love that you said that, because that's where, you know, your company is all about abundance, right? That abundance mindset. And so a lot of people would have seen like your situation or my situation and might have been like, I'm a failure. I can't do this. I suck or whatever. But we were like, no, what can I do next time to make it better? And then you just go and you go make it better, because those who are successful, you know, they don't let that stuff kick them down and get, you know, get them to stop doing what they're doing or following their dream or passion. And you and I, we love community. We love bringing people together. So this is what we do. It comes natural for us, right? And so it's like, what can I do next that's going to be even cooler than the last time? And, you know, maybe next time I'll have financial success. 3,500 people in attendance is success. Yeah. It just happens that I didn't make any money. And so if we look at money solely as our success, then maybe we're not always hitting the mark, but look at different ways to think about the success that, hey, I did it. Hey, I, you know, had some bumps and bruises along the way, but I kept going. That's a success in my mind. So I'd love to hear your perspective on what does success mean to you?
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. And that's why I am so big on abundance, because again, my first business being something where it was all about the money and the amount of clients. And like I said, I lived in this very masculine world that I thought that meant success. But as we see, and as I spoke about earlier, it led to something that I couldn't even do anymore, that I was so unhappy, that wasn't in alignment. That's not success. That's not a happy, successful life. And so I really do believe when people say success is relative, I think it is what it is to you. What does success mean to you? And if that means fancy cars and lots of money, then sure, that's fine. But for me, I feel like success is all encompassing. I have to feel good for myself. I need to feel good on a daily basis. That is my health, my wellness, you know, my happiness is definitely something that was missing in my first business. I started forgetting about me, and I was in the fitness industry and I wasn't taking care of me. You know, I wasn't eating as good as I used to. I wasn't doing my normal meal prep. I wasn't doing all that stuff because I was so worried about money that I was losing that side of me. And I also think that for some people, success could just be content, that they can pay their bills on time, that they can make sure that they put food on the table for their family. And maybe it's getting out of debt. Maybe that's success to you, is getting out of debt. You're in student loans and you just want to get out of debt. That could be success. I think that success is different for every single person. And you can't get wrapped up in the idea of what someone else's success is. So stop looking at, oh, she made $1 million in coaching industry. I need to make $1 million. Well, is that success to you? Are you going to be happy when you get to that million? Or are you going to want more because you didn't find it the right way? You didn't get success the way that you were supposed to get success. So for me, I think it's very, very relative. It is what we need and what makes us happy. And if you're chasing someone else's success, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get to success.
And there's something you said that made me think about success, you know, comes in different levels. Because when we attain the success that we want, it doesn't mean that we stop dreaming and having more desires and more success. And so, like you mentioned, like maybe somebody's success is, you know, paying the bills every month. And that is success. And that's success for now. But then maybe once you're paying the bills every month, now you decide on a new goal and, you know, a new desire that you have to attain something else. Because I know that when I was starting out, you know, my idea of success was literally feeding my kids. That was it. You know, I was a single mom for a few years. And so just being able to feed them was my idea of success. Now, here's what happened is that idea of success, kind of like what you were saying, but in the relation to my family, is that I lost sight of my kids. I had to work two jobs in order to pay for them to be able to eat and have a roof over their head, you know, and have a babysitter. So they saw the babysitter more than they saw me and started calling the babysitter mom. And so it's interesting how, again, those successes that we're having along the way, that it's good to check in and measure them every once in a while to see, is, do I still really want that? Like, as if we start comparing ourselves to others, like you mentioned, like, oh, that person's making $1 million doing what I'm doing. That is what the idea of success is, but maybe it's not. I mean, don't compare yourself to others and let their successes steer you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, it's great to have big goals. Absolutely. I have big goals. I'm sure you have big goals, Linda. But what I see a lot is people seeing someone else's success as what they want. And it's not internally even really what they want for themselves. What they want might be completely different. And they look at these people and they just want to be like them because they think that they're happy. But of course, we, especially you guys in the social media world, everyone looks happy. Okay. Everyone, we're seeing the snapshots of their happy, happy lives. And we don't get to see what's behind the scenes. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes of everything that's going on. They could be a millionaire and be the most unhappy person, but they're not going to show you that on social media because they're a millionaire and that's what brings them status. So I just say that just be really, like you said, look into it. Figure out what success means to you. And then of course you can have those bigger goals. But if success right now is just, like you said, paying the bills, making sure there's food on the table, hit that mark, go for that mark, then that hit, and then be happy. And then you can start going for the next thing. But you'll never be happy if you're always going for the next thing and not actually being happy with the moments that you're having and the success that you're having right now. And that's what I think abundance is it's all encompassing. It's this happiness. It's this fulfillment. It's this presence. I know that for my first business, I was never present. You know, I was working all weekend, working all the weeks. I never, you know, I'd come home, I'd be tired. I'd still feel like I had work to do. And I don't even know how my husband stayed with me. You know, I'm lucky that he's such a supportive man, because man, if I had to have dealt with him barely being present, being like me on my phone all the time, me on my computer all the time, I mean, I think, you know, the Lord that he loves me that way, because I don't know if I could be able to handle someone that was like that, because I was not present in my relationship or with my family. And I think that that's a huge thing that comes with what I've learned, and that success to me, that's huge success. I get to be present. I get to spend weekends. I get to go on trips when I feel like it. That's success to me, because I get to be with my husband.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And, you know, it's interesting because I was like, is she reading my mind? Because right when you were talking about some of the different steps there, you know, to success, you said, and that's what is abundant to me. And I was like, I was just going to ask you, is that what abundance is to you? So it was perfect timing. I love it. I love it. And so what tip would you give? I'm going to have a final question, but this is my lead up to my final question. Okay. What tip would you give to somebody out there who is like, maybe they're new in entrepreneurship and they have a relationship. So you have your husband, and say, maybe they have a newer relationship and they're just getting started in entrepreneurship. What's a tip that you would give them right now to ensure that that relationship, I mean, you can't guarantee it, but what's something you would say to them that would ensure that that relationship can get stronger or stay strong, you know, even through the tough ups and downs of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I definitely think I've been with my husband for 10 years. We haven't been married for 10 years, but we've been together for 10 years. So he's been part of both my businesses. So he has been a part of some of the big downs and some of the big ups, right? And I think that, you know, everyone says communication, but I also think being really vulnerable and real when things are tough. Like, I think for me, I would sit him down and tell him, like, I'm going through this right now. It's not going well. I'm probably going to hit a wall really hard. And what I need from you right now is just, you know, maybe to sit back, or maybe I just need you to listen to me while I talk about it. I was very honest. I still am. We sit down. We love brunch. Brunch is our huge thing. So we'll grab a mimosa and we'll hang out and have brunch. And I talk about my business every other Sunday. We do this. And this is just my time to talk about my business and myself. And it gives me time to get it all out. And that's our one day. I don't talk about business every single day. I don't want to do that to him either. I don't want to bring that home. It's just like bringing home from a 9 to 5. You don't want to bring that home with you. So we have this one day where we talk about it. We hash things out. We brainstorm. We go through things, and then that's it. You know, we're very clear on that. And I think that, yes, it's communication, but it's also this vulnerability of saying, okay, this is what I need from you. And then after that, we can talk, we can do the normal things and have the normal life. And I think that that's really important.
Yeah, that is so good. And I find that with my husband, you know, he's more like he's the 9 to 5 type of mentality. And I've always been entrepreneurial mindset, even though I had 49 jobs in 36 years, you know, so a lot of jobs because I just got bored, you know, like I want to be challenged, and that's just who I am. That's part of my entrepreneurship mentality there. But I like that part of you saying, you know, sharing with them those vulnerability, because there's times in our entrepreneurial journey that are scary, times that are sad, times that are exciting. And they won't understand it really if we don't bring them into knowing what we're going through. And I love how you talk to him and have conversations, because I think that's really important. Like, you know, it is about the conversing, but also like, what are you talking about? And, you know, sharing those vulnerable moments. That is so great. So great. Well, Camille, and gosh, we're at the end of our time. I knew we'd go over a little bit because we're so much in alignment with each other in what we do. But I want you to tell us like how we can get in touch with you. I know we have a 30-minute call with you, a 30-minute deep dive call. And I will drop that link in the, down in the show notes. But how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm always on Instagram. So it's at Camille Colley. So my name, pretty simple. I'm pretty much Camille Colley everywhere, CamilleColley.com. That's pretty much what you'll find everywhere. But yeah, I'm always willing to talk in the DMs if you have any questions. So just, message me on there. That's probably the fastest way to get a hold of me. I'm always on there. And yes, take advantage of the deep dive. I really do kind of check you out, go into the back end, see what you're missing, those loopholes. And if you are also trying to do an event, that is definitely something that I would, events, retreats, all of that good stuff is definitely something that I love talking about. So yeah, reach out to me on Instagram though. I'm always there. I like live there, unfortunately.
And that's Camille with a K, K-A-M-I-L-L-E, Colley. And again, I'll put that information also in the show notes. So I have my final question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, what is one action step our audience can take today, tomorrow, or next week to uplevel their personal and or professional life? One action step.
Yeah, I say right now, go write yourself 5 things that you're grateful for. I think that we talked a lot about abundance and what success means to people and all of that. And I think sometimes we forget what we actually do have. And sometimes noticing that and really taking a step back and seeing what we have, what to be grateful for, a gratitude list can really put things in perspective for us, for what our next goals are, for what we actually do have, and to actually celebrate some of the things that we do have right now. So write a little gratitude list, say them out loud, and be thankful for what you have right now, and then keep going and take that list and take it to the next level.
There you go. Write a gratitude list. Break out that paper right now and do it. Do it tactilely too. Break out an actual piece of paper with an actual pen or pencil and do it with your hands.
Absolutely. You guys, I'm telling you, I'm 32, but I still write everything down. I love it. I do have to do everything on the computer, but writing things down, just it's different in your head that way.
It really is. And I'm 58. I like to call myself a boomer. A millennial in a boomer body. Because I'm always on the phone and all that stuff. I'll be sitting at my computer and I'm on my phone, instead of on my computer. But I digress. But yeah, definitely break that out. That gratitude, those gratitude exercises really do help, especially when you start to visualize them and see yourself in that state of mind of gratitude and really having gratitude for those people in your life, also those things in your life. And the thing I like to say is don't forget to be grateful to yourself, for yourself, for giving yourself this journey. Because when Camille attended that women's conference that she attended, she said yes to herself. And so having gratitude for, yes, I said yes to myself, and I'm so grateful to myself for saying yes. That was something I started doing a couple years ago. And it really helped me to change myself and my own, the physiology of my, my mindset and all this stuff to really be grateful more for others because I was grateful more for myself. So it's kind of interesting how that works.
I love
that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Guys, put yourself at the top of the list. I like that. Awesome.
Be abundant. I love it. Well, Camille, thank you so much for being here. And Camille in the Teal, I look forward to seeing you in more and more Clubhouse rooms, also on Instagram, and us doing some work together, because these events, this is something that both of us really love. So I can see us doing something together along that lines. So everybody, watch out for the abundant entrepreneur and women action takers, because we're going to join forces on something.
I see it coming. Well, thank you so much for having me, Linda. This was absolutely awesome.
Thank you. Everybody have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Women action takers looking to take you into action. I kinda like you.
Wow, that was an awesome show. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and family and give us a 5-star review. While you're at it, please subscribe. The Women Action Takers podcast is always looking for amazing women action takers just like you to be interviewed. If you're interested in being on the podcast, see the link in the show notes. See you next time.